Hey there, I'm Verity Songon and this is the Confident CEO podcast, the show that takes you behind the scenes of starting and running your small or not so small business. We will cut through the misinformation and bad advice about starting and running a business and give you actionable tips and advice that you can implement to grow, scale and achieve your business goals. Let's dive in. Welcome everybody back to another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Sadie this morning. I say this morning, you might not be listening in the morning, but never mind. But I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Sadie, who is an online business manager. Now, I'm really excited because we haven't covered anything about OBMs or even VAs on the podcast before. So I found Sadie on LinkedIn. We had some conversations and I was like, oh my gosh, she is just the perfect person to come onto the podcast and talk all things OBM and online business management. But before we dive in, Sadie, I'm going to hand over to you. Tell us who you are and all about your amazing business.
Right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking me. So I am a certified online business manager or OBM, COO. There's many different titles, many different hats. What I do is I help businesses scale from 6 to 7 figures, and I am the manager of all the business, basically. Anything business aspects, I come in and I take over. So if you imagine you've got the CEO at the top, then you've got the team. Often what you'll find is the CEO is trying to do everything, manage the team, help with the podcast, launch the new program, just all the stuff that they really don't need to be doing. So where I come in is I sit just below the CEO and I sort of take the reins of the business to allow the CEO to kind of like sit in their zone of genius and do all that kind of wonderful stuff.
I love that so much because, like you said, as the CEO of the business, you are just constantly being pulled from pillar to post. And it's that idea, isn't it, of almost, I need another one of me, but you don't need another one of you. You need somebody with the skills where, as you said, they can take that management thread and take things forward so that you, I love that you say that the CEO can then sit in their zone of genius. I think that's such a brilliant way of putting it.
Yeah, I often say I like to be the Thelma to the Louise.
That is one of my favourite films.
Because I sometimes wonder, am I being too old by saying that? Do people still know that movie? But that...
I hope so. Or at the very least, I hope that they now look it up. Because honestly, Thelma and Louise is one of my favourite films. And my husband's always like, oh, you're not watching that again, are you? I live for 80s films.
But that's why I like that reference. But yeah, I like to think of myself as like your business bestie, Thelma to your Louise. I'm like that person who... the thing is, as an OBM, that you hear a lot of the same conversation again and again. And I mean this with the kindest of heart to all my wonderful clients and entrepreneurs, CEOs, founders, kick-ass coaches out there. They all come to me and I can guarantee pretty much 99% of the time they've all got the same problem. They've all got the same thing. I can pretty much tell you word for word what they're going to say. They've either got no time to be launching their new product or program, or they've done it before, but it's been all kind of like fly by the seat of their pants or stuff. There's been no structure. There's been no way of measuring good, better and best goals. Or they've got a team which they were told to be a great idea. Sometimes they've grown the team so quickly, but then they find themselves still answering all the questions, being bothered all the time because something can't move forward until this is done or something. And so they go to the CEO or the founder the whole time. So that's often the next sort of umbrella that we kind of cover. And then sometimes they come to me and they go, oh, I've just got no systems in place. I've got no way of tracking anything. You know, there's all these little things that when you set up your business and it grows quite quickly in a lot of people's cases, they can have a lot of stuff going on up here that they've never actually got down onto paper. And what part of what my job is, and one of my favourite parts of my job, is to unpick all that. So, you know, they come to me and they go, oh, I've got all these ideas and I'd like to this, da, da, da. And it's called shiny object syndrome, where they're like, oh, squirrel, oh, this, that, the other. Whereas when you work with somebody like me, certified OBM, I can unpick all that and then I can give it back to them in this lovely, lovely little present where it's all broken down into like a 3-month plan, annual plan, and everything's mapped out and prioritized. It's just a we are like your bestie. We'll kind of like take everything off your plate, do all the dealing with all the team, we'll manage and organise everything. And it just helps to take the massive, massive pressure off. And once, like I say, it allows them, if they have got something in their mind, like maybe they did want to write a book, or they were wanting to launch a new programme, but they've just never got around to doing it, or they've got this idea for another part of their business, but they just can't do it because they're so bogged down in the weeds. Well, my job is to come along and just kind of take all that away and allow them to do what they need to do for them to grow their business. And I'm just sort of the strategy and the planning behind all of that.
I love that so much. And I'm going to pick up on something that you said there. You were talking about how you're a certified OBM as well. And what I find really interesting about that, and let's dive into that a little bit, is because when you say certified, you've gone through like a proper program in like inverted commas. And what I mean by a proper program, what I mean is that you haven't just, you know, purchased something which is taking you 2 hours to go through, or that you completed in maybe half a morning or something. You've gone through like a lot of training to get your certification. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm really interested in that.
Well, there are the VA world, there's a lot of VAs now, and which is how I started out, and I love a VA. And you can become a certified VA. But when I was getting to the point where I was almost starting to manage people's businesses anyway, and I was starting to implement a lot of ideas, I've always been a real sort of like ideas person. And then I thought, I want to grow my business, but I want to do it in a way where I feel I have a sense of ownership and a sense of authority about what I'm doing. So I decided to become a certified OBM. Now, what that is I'm now part of the International Association of Online Business Managers. The course itself is amazing. Amanda Hyde Pierce, just to say that name again, is the most amazing trainer and mentor that I could have asked for. And yeah, the training that I went through is very in depth, because there are a lot of people out there who call themselves online business managers. And I'm not saying they're not, I'm sure they are. But when you go through certification, it's such a tough process. The exam process is really intense. You do two sets of projects separate from each other. And if you don't pass one set of projects, then you can't move on to certification week. So there's quite a lot of pressure, but it also puts you in the position of an online business manager. In all the situations that they put you in are situations that I have then gone on and gone, oh my God, yeah, this is exactly what we did. Tina Forsyth, who is the founder of the International Association of Business Managers, has been doing this for like 15 years. So there's nothing that she hasn't ever come across. So for me, it was really important to become certified, because I do think it just gives you that, it gives me that air of confidence, because I know that I wouldn't have passed had I not have gone through this training. And as I say, I've now got the association behind me. So if you ever need anybody, or you need some advice, or you're unsure of anything, you've got them in your corner as well. So it's not just like you're going through it, you then move on to the next phase, which is then you've got this wonderful supportive community. So yeah, it's, I think if you are looking to become an OBM, I would definitely recommend going through certification, because as well, OBM is a relatively new term in the UK and in Europe. In America, they're called integrators. I put my teeth in to say that one. So they're a lot more familiar with it in the States. In the UK and in the EU, it's something that's becoming a lot more used. I think because since COVID, more businesses have gone online or going online, and they're seeing the need for more of an actual structured team, but not in a building. And obviously that's where I come in, because I'm remote. So that's another reason why I decided to go through certification, just because I feel it gives my clients the confidence, because they know that I've gone through this whole process. It's not something I'm just sort of calling myself or doing. But yeah, and it gives me the confidence to say, well, actually, I know I've worked bloody hard to do this, and I've earned this. So yeah, that's why I always say certified OBM. It probably drives me.
Absolutely. And I have to say, when we first started chatting on LinkedIn, that was one of the things that kind of drew me to your profile anyway. I was like, ooh, certified. Let's delve into that a little bit more. Because I agree with you. It gives you that
It gives you that reassurance. It also gives you, like you said, that you've had so many experiences in your training and in your qualification now. So even if you're not using those, a couple of those skills now, because it's so varied, as you said, you're probably going to need those skills in maybe the next client or a few clients' time or whatever, or with your current clients as that evolves. So I love that you've gone through this process, which has just been so valuable to you and your business.
It's like that if there's things that I haven't necessarily done as an OBM at the moment with an actual real life client, I've done it during certification. Because all the scenarios that you're presented with when you're going through certification are real life scenarios that have been, that have come from other clients. And the other thing I like is because it's an international association as well, I work with clients. I've got a client in the States and there's clients from all over the world. But as I say, at the moment now, it's trying to get the term more recognised in this country to make people more familiar about what I do in this country and in the EU, because it is a gap that I think is going to start filling up.
No, I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you, because as you said, with more businesses going online or this kind of hybrid structure we've seen a lot, you know, since lockdown has lifted. So yeah, I can completely see much more of that space being filled up and people being interested in that space. Yeah. So I guess that kind of leads me on to my next question then, of what kind of tasks do, I don't like the word tasks because sometimes it seems too much like a checklist and you're not just working through a checklist, but what kind of things, for want of a better word, do you do with your clients or that an OBM can do with their clients?
There's different ways in which you can work, like, for me and with other OBMs. With me, I either offer like a retainer package. So if you've got a client who has long-term things that they're looking to achieve, long-term goals that they're looking to achieve, I can then go in and work with them and literally sit, as I say, just below them and take off all of the pressure, which is what kind of what a lot of clients want. That includes very first thing I do would be to do a operations review where I sit down with the client and I literally go through the business from top to bottom to inside and out. That is a really amazing thing to do because you identify leaks in the business. It looks at teams, it looks at launches, where you want to be in 3 months, where you want to be in 12 months. And as I say, a lot of, pretty much 99% of entrepreneurs and business people have got to where they are is because they're ideas people, but they tend to have all these ideas in their head. So when you go through things like an operation review, it gives them the opportunity to kind of like brain dump it all out. And once they brain dumped it all out, you can then put it all in a little package and go, right, priority one, priority two, priority three. So that's one of the things that I do. And then it's team management. So sometimes, as I say, businesses, they've taken on loads of people because they think that's the right thing to do, but actually when you look at the organization chart, it's a bit like, actually hang on a minute, we just need to restructure this. Is Jenny doing the right thing here, or could Jane be doing a bit more here and restructuring that? It's all about strategy, planning. The other big love of mine is launches. I love a launch. So if you've got a program that you're looking to launch or a high ticket offer that you're looking to launch, I love all that. The strategy and the actual process behind it all, and then the after strategy, is such an immense task. But I love all that. So it really is everything sort of umbrellaed. And then so that's how you can work with an OBM on a retainer packages. And then there's metrics. There's all other sorts of different things, obviously recommendations, there's loads of different things. But I also appreciate that a lot of businesses aren't in that six looking to get into seven figures, but they need somebody to come in and help unpick a few things. So that's why, like most OBMs, you'll find will offer VIP days or business management days. And with me, I particularly offer the operations review because I believe that is something that is crucial to any business. Especially with newer businesses, because they often can't see the wood for the trees. And if you can actually say to them, okay, let's just sit for 2 hours, I'll go through a whole load of questions, you answer them, you tell me where you want to be in 3 months, you tell me where you'd like to be in 12 months, and then I can take that all away and I can fill in the blanks and go, here you go. So that's one thing that I then do as a VIP day, because I think that is something that is like golden to clients, and it's not something that everybody does. And then the other way is if someone has got a launch coming up, they've got a new program coming up and they're thinking, oh, I've really done this before, but I'm not 100% sure. Because there's so much planning and strategizing behind these things that I get it. And I was speaking to someone the other day and she said, oh, I did do a business course and they sent me a load of videos of how to do it. And I know other people have done it, but it's just like, but if you don't have to do it, why do it? And I think that's the other thing as well. Often clients will be like, oh, I'm just trying to, they're trying to do everything. And you really don't have to. And that's where the beauty of somebody like me is. If it's not as an ongoing retainer thing, which I totally understand, we can come in and do project work, which I think is also so valuable to people, because they often think, oh my God, it's going to be so expensive, it's going to cost me all this money. It doesn't have to. You could just do things on a project basis, which then you can see the value of where a OBM really can come in. Or if you just want someone to look over your team management or sort out your organisational chart, these are all the sort of different projects that we can work on as a one-off.
I love what you were saying about sometimes people not seeing, or CEOs not seeing the wood for the trees, because I completely agree with you. I say this so often to people or to podcasters when I come in and do podcasting audits, is so often you can't see the things that you're doing really well, first of all, because you're just doing them all the time. And sometimes you need people to be like, do you know what, that's amazing that you're doing that, and yeah, just kudos to you. But equally, sometimes when you're, like you said, you want to get to a certain goal, you want to achieve something within 3, 6, 12 months, you're so often just too close to the project to be able to, you know, and you need that fresh pair of eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just such a valuable thing. I use the word thing again, but it's such a valuable thing to have for your business, is just that fresh pair of eyes and somebody with that knowledge, with that backing, to kind of go, to kind of challenge you almost and say, well, why are you doing it like this? Have you thought of this? Because 9 times out of 10, when I speak to people, you know, and even if it's just my husband, whoever it is, they're like, I'm like, no, I never saw it from that point of view.
It's true.
Because sometimes you're just so close to your project.
It's true. And the other thing is as well, as much as I am, I only really like to work with businesses that I feel personally aligned with. I'm someone who I'm very such a loyal person. And if I am loyal to you, I'm loyal to your business. And I would go to the ends of the earth and I'll be your biggest cheerleader. But the other thing is as well, I'm also there to be the advocate for your business. I'm not necessarily there to tell you all your ideas are great, and I'm not necessarily going to tell you, oh right, so halfway through month two of doing a launch, you now want to change direction and want to do this. Because that's the other problem I often see as well, is that sometimes entrepreneurs start going off on too many tangents. So I'm there to be the advocate for your business. So I'm there to lovingly tap you on the wrist and say, no, if you want to change course, that's fine. But what do we take off this list? And 9 times out of 10, they'll be like, no, do you know what? That can wait till this month or something like that. So, yeah, I'm there to hold your hand and tell you you're doing great. But I'm also there to say, no, actually, come on. I'm there to keep us on course, because I'm there to help you grow your business. I'm not there just to sort of like support you, even though obviously I do, but I'm there to really, really support your business, to help you grow your business, because that's ultimately what you hired me to do.
It's that accountability, isn't it? Which I think, as you said already, a lot of people need. When you've got all the ideas buzzing around, you need the accountability sometimes, especially if you're like a manifester or a money generator. I can't remember what the human design is.
I love human design.
I've just got into it a few months ago. Somebody said something about it to me and I was like, oh, sounds like a load of rubbish. Brilliant. Started reading it and I was a complete convert. I was like, oh my God, it's me.
More than anything else I've ever read.
Yeah.
No, that's me.
So funny. More than like star signs or anything like that. I was like, nope, this is completely, me.
Manifesting generator or whatever it is, generating manifester.
Yeah, I'm a manifester, which means that I am very good at jumping from thing to thing.
That's it. It just all makes sense. Sometimes when you look at things like that, I mean, I love all that 16 personalities and human design and all that sort of stuff. It does all make things sort of click into place. And funnily enough, just touching on that, the more I've looked into that, it makes sense how I've got where I am, because I've always been in human design. I'm a role model hermit, which totally makes sense because I am quite introverted. I love space and time on my own. I love working from home. But my best friend won't mind me saying this. She has me in her phone as Sadie Says. Because, oh, Sadie Says we're doing this. Or we'll go somewhere and she goes, Sadie, where's the toilets? I'm like, I don't know, I've never been here. I've always had that kind of like role model sort of quality. So I think the more I've got into it, the more it makes me realise that I've had such a checkered past career-wise. I was a makeup artist and I've done lots of different creative things. But they've always been helping people. And when I look back, it realises that the stepping stones have all got me to here. And the more you kind of look at that kind of stuff, like the human design stuff, it just all, it all clicks in and makes sense, I believe. But that's a complete tangent.
No, I completely agree with you. I think it's a really important point, actually, because I was having a conversation with a neighbour recently, as you do, because my background is being a registered nurse, and now I've come into podcast management. And so many people are like, well, where's the overlap? And I'm like, well, you know, you don't quite do a podcasting module in a nursing degree, I'll give you that. But it's like you said, it's what are the stepping stones, what are the skills that, so for example, from my nursing, because I used to work in emergency assessment, what I can do really quickly is think on my feet, and I can change direction really quickly, and I can action plan to an absolute hilt because I need to do that. That serves me really, really well in my business. Yeah. And it's the same with what you're saying, is you've got that creativity strand, yeah, which has only got stronger. Yeah. And I think it's funny that sometimes people turn around and go, but there's no relation between this and that. And you're like, well, actually, you're just looking at it as surface value. If you look at the skills and the experiences that you've gained from those different 100% roles or jobs, actually so much of it is so transferable.
Absolutely. And if you ever listen to Marie Folio, I'm probably saying it all wrong.
Sorry.
She is all about the multi-passionate entrepreneur. So she said, but why am I, like, she's been a dancer, she's worked in this, she's worked in that. She's like, why am I only allowed to like one thing?
Yeah.
Why can't I have? And that was the thing with me. I mean, I was a makeup artist for 15 years when I lived in London, and it was what I'd wanted to do since I was wee. But it took me a long time to get around to doing that because I did a load of other things first. But then, you know, your priorities change. I had a daughter, I'm a single parent, and I didn't want to live in London anymore with my child. So I moved out, and all of a sudden it lost its sparkle with the commute. So that's when I put my skills together and I thought, what can I do? I'm organised and I'm creative. I did touch on corporate for about 8 years. Wasn't for me. I'm not very corporate. yeah, so I combined skills. And then sort of like looking back, you realise all the little stepping stones and how I've always been such a supportive person, and everything I've ever done has always been to help people, or it's always been to make people feel good, or to always, you know, support people and always have ideas about things. It kind of all just naturally sort of came together, really. And I think there's a great, like you say, there's a great deal to be said of being multi-layered in what you do. I think sometimes if you just do one thing forevermore, well, speaking for myself, I think it would get boring.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people like the security, but I'm like you, I need to be doing different things and have those different passions. Yeah. And on that note, I was joking with a friend the other day that I would absolutely hate it if I was, obviously I'd hate it full stop if I was under any kind of police investigation. Right. Hope to God that never happens. But if I ever was and they went through my Netflix account, because I've got two extremes on my Netflix account. I'm either watching these crazy crime documentaries from America, or I'm watching the most shallow reality TV. Yeah. There's nothing in between. Yeah. It's one or the other. But and even my husband said that to me before. He was like, where's the link between these two things? And I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I just need to watch something about this person that went on a murder rampage, and sometimes I just need to watch something really shallow that I don't really understand why I'm watching that either.
Me too. Me too. And I think sometimes when you're a busy working mum as well, you don't have, I used to before I had my daughter, on the weekend I'd love to sort of come in, shut the door and just do nothing but watch movies all day or watch like crap. But you don't have that time now. So sometimes, like when my daughter goes to bed, I will sit and watch Married at First Sight Australia because it's just so brilliantly crap. But I love it.
Yes.
But I love it. Or I'm listening, or in the car, I'm either listening to a podcast, or I love listening to autobiographies. But it's just that little bit of, I think it's just escapism.
Yes, I was about to say that it's escapism, isn't
it? Yeah, and I when you've been working all day and then you've been mumming all day as well, which is another full-time job on top of that, you just need that little bit of woosari rubbish in your head, don't you?
Yeah, just going into a different dimension of murderers, Norm, and crime on my... Like I said, it's a little bit worrying if anyone goes through my Netflix profile. But anyway, let's dive out the conversation a bit more back before anyone starts calling, I don't know, social services on me or something for my Netflix profile. But one final question before we wrap up that I really, really want to dive into is really defining, or just, you know, going through, what is the core differences then between an OBM and a VA? Because what I've noticed, and we were chatting about this actually before we hit record, that I was talking to somebody recently and they kind of came to me saying that they wanted a podcast manager, wrote down everything that they wanted. And then I said to them, well, actually, I feel like you need an OBM, maybe with a podcast manager coming in and working with that OBM, but I feel you need an OBM. And then they said to me, oh, but do I not need a VA? And I was like, oh, well, listen to my podcast that's going to come out in a few weeks' time. So, and I think that there probably are some people who are thinking, well, you know, what is that difference fundamentally between the OBM and the VA role? So I'd love to dive into that.
Obviously, I had a VA background before I went into being an OBM. And this is what I'm saying. A lot of people do call themselves OBMs, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they often are more like a glorified VA. And I mean that with kindness in my heart. But when you're a VA, you are a doer. So someone will give you a list of tasks. Like, I used to manage a lot of social media accounts, or I do email marketing. Or so somebody would, the client would give you a list of tasks. And they're generally much smaller business concerns. They're generally businesses that are maybe in, you know, just starting out, or they're getting to the point where they just need the extra pair of hands. When you are an OBM, you come in and you are the manager of the business. So you're not doing the tasks, you're managing the people who are doing the tasks. So it's a completely different, an online business manager, certified online business manager, is the manager. We sit just below the client, and then we then become the person who gives the VA the tasks. So the main difference is there may well be times where you have to sort of dive in and help out with stuff, but you are generally not the doer. You are making sure the right things get done by the right people at the right time. So that is the core difference. You're not the person who was doing the tasks. You're the person that is delegating the tasks. Whereas a VA is the person who is doing the task. So there is a massively clear difference. I sometimes think people bring OBMs on when they don't necessarily need it, and they expect them to be doing all the work of a VA, but that isn't the work of an OBM. And the difference is, you're paying the price is incredibly, it's massively different as well, because we're not doing the task. We are effectively, as I say, we sit just below the CEO, and then you'd have your team of VAs, or you'd have your VA, you'd bring you in as a podcast person to do that as a project, or to work. But you would then talk to me. You wouldn't necessarily then talk to the CEO. I'm like that bridge gap between the CEO and the team. So yeah, there's a huge difference, and I really appreciate you asking me that, because it is one of the things that people do still get confused. We're not glorified VAs, we are managers. So we are there to help manage, scale and grow your business, whereas the VAs are there to help me and do the tasks. So that's the main difference.
I love that. I think you've put that so beautifully, and in such a, no, it was really, really accessible. I think that's brilliant, because like you said, you know, if you're hiring the OBM, you're not hiring an OBM to manage your email list, for example, or to write out your weekly newsletter and emails, or whatever tasks it is that you're looking at outsourcing. I think that's really, really important, and I love your definition and your differentiations there. It's similar to like when people hire me to either do a launch strategy versus managing the podcast. the managing is very much the task orientation, whereas like you said, the launch strategy is, well, it is what it says on the tin. It's about, you know, taking those taking that strategy off of somebody's hands there. So yeah, wildly, wildly different. And I understand what you're saying as well. I think that there is, amongst a lot of business owners, confusion around
100%.
You know, behind the titles. And I find this a lot in podcast management. I find it in social media as well. You know, people calling them social media managers, and some social media managers, I'm like, no, you need to give yourself like, I don't know, social media goddess, because you like know everything there is. But then there's other people who, I think it's difficult because it's a world where none of the titles are protected, you know, and do you know what I mean? And it's not so anyone can turn around and call themselves whatever. And
it's in all areas. It was when I was working in makeup, one of the biggest things there was the influx of makeup artists, Instagram makeup artists, who weren't doing the sort of jobs that we were doing, but they were still calling themselves makeup artists. And it was the same thing with the photographers. The photographers are saying there's so many people calling themselves photographers, and they're not actual photographers like this. I think it happens across the board more. And I think it's more now to do with social media, and everything's a lot more open. And I know I've spoken to people in the past who've called themselves OBMs or integrators or whatever. And as I say, they are, but when I've looked back, and I was working as a VA, I worked with someone who was an OBM. But when I look at it, they, now knowing what I know, they weren't really. They were just like another glorified VA, just calling themselves this and probably charging the client silly money. But yeah, there's a very, very distinct difference between the VA being the doer and me being the manager. And not saying that when it comes down to like launches, when it's all hands on deck, you have to make sure things are getting done. But we're just making sure that the right people are doing the right things, as opposed to we're doing all the things. That's the main difference. Yes.
Absolutely. It's really interesting, because I'm going to flip it on its head a little bit, actually. And I'm now thinking of somebody who I know who works as a VA, but actually knowing what she includes within her packages, I'm now actually thinking, I don't think you are a VA. I think you're actually falling more into the OBM category. It's really, really interesting.
This is where I was getting to. And this is why... as I say, when I decided to do my training, this is Amanda, who was my trainer and my mentor. She was a VA for years, and that's why she decided she was going to go into an OBM. She's now an OBM trainer for the association, and she's absolutely incredible. But she was just like, I'm doing all of this stuff, but when you do go through certification, it's that just that little bit more detailed. But yeah, and you can be charging so much more because, you're not.
We're giving different value, aren't you?
100%. And you're not just a glorified VA. Whereas sometimes I think if you're a people pleaser, which I know I can be, and I'm a natural doer, I'll do that. You end up getting caught in that. You can sometimes end up getting caught in that as well, which is the other danger, where you don't think, I'll just do that. That isn't what you have to do. You have to be able to step away from that and make sure that the right people are doing it. But it's the same with like what you're saying about the person you know. There are so many VAs out there who are doing the job of an OBM, but they just don't realize that they're doing it, because especially in this country, and as I say, in the EU, it isn't quite so recognized here yet, but it is getting that way. But yeah, if your friend wants to speak to me, let me know.
I was just thinking that, actually. I was like, maybe I need to link you guys up on Instagram or something.
I'm more than happy to speak to her.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point that you were saying, and I know you've mentioned this a couple of times in the episode, that, yeah, OBMs, it's not as much of a used term in the UK and in Europe as it is in America. So I think that's going to be really interesting over the next, like, I don't know, couple of years, to see how that's gonna how that's gonna shift. Really, really interesting. But you were one of the first in there from the UK, so that'll be, you know, kudos to you.
It's starting to become bigger now, but it's definitely like the last couple of years. It's a much more American recognized term, and as I say, in the use of the word integrator, because you're kind of integrating everything together, you're kind of putting the pieces together for everybody. But it is starting to become more recognised here. And then you've got the difficulty of, as much as I'm kind of more in a more of a grassroots level, the difficulty is getting the message out there to the businesses. This is what they need.
Yes. Because we all know there's so much noise on social media.
That's it. It's all about getting that point across so the right person hears you and goes, oh, that's what I need. Because a lot of the time, because they're not familiar with the term or they don't really know that somebody like me is out there, they don't really know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about teaching people that this is what we're called and this is what we do.
Which I think you have just summarised and also, I was going to say dove isn't even a word, and also... and also dived in really, really well in this episode, which has just been, it's been amazing. I've learned a lot. So I know that our audience are going to have learned a lot as well. So thank you so much. But before we go, please, can you tell us, where can our lovely audience catch up with you? Are there any platforms that are easier to contact you on if people are interested in chatting more about OBMs?
Yeah, LinkedIn is my main platform that I use. My website is just having a little zhuzh as we speak, but by the time this goes out, hopefully it will be done. Do I need to say the name, or are you going to put it all in the show notes?
It will all go in the show notes, don't worry.
Yeah, and Instagram, I'm not on as much, but mainly LinkedIn is my main platform of choice.
Perfect. And like I said, I'm going to have all of that linked below in the show notes so people can, reach out, have that chat, check out all of your offers, which I'm sure people are going to be doing. Well, Sadie, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. It has been absolutely fantastic. Perfect.
Thank you so much.